Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Euskaltel fourth quarter 2020 results presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing the 01 on your telephone keypad, but you can also send your question through the webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I'm now pleased to introduce Mr. José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, and welcome to the Euskaltel fourth quarter 2020 results conference call. My name is José Miguel García. I'm CEO of Euskaltel. Joining me is Ángel Alabonaga, our CFO, Alfonso Enríquez, which you all know, Head of Strategy and Investor Relationship. We will provide a summary of the main operating and financial KPIs before we enter into the questions. 2020 has been a transformational year for Euskaltel, with the successful launch of our national expansion plan last May and the Virgin Telco brand. 2021 will continue to be a transformational year with the launch of our fiber infrastructure company. Virgin Telco launch has well exceeded our expectation and has driven excellent growth. Mass market fixed customer base grew by 47,000 net adds, a record growth. Virgin Telco grew to over 70,000 fixed mobile customers, beating our year-on-year targets by over 50%. Euskaltel addressable footprint has increased by 18 million households in the year and now exceeds 23 million households. Financial KPIs reflect the acceleration in customer growth. Total revenue of the company grew by 1.7% versus last year's decline of 0.9%. EBITDA evolution was sustained with a slight decline of 0.5% despite COVID adverse effects and the Virgin Telco growth. If we exclude Virgin Telco growth, underlying EBITDA grew by 2.3% in the year. Cash flow generated allowed a reduction of more than 2% in our net debt. 2020 has been the year of growth acceleration for Euskaltel. Fixed customer net adds accelerated to 47,000 versus 8,000 in the previous year, a record for the company. Part of this growth is due to our increase in footprint coverage with more than 23 million households by end of the year. Revenue growth accelerated to 1.7% in the year, 4.6% in the quarter, driven by excellent customer growth. Underlying EBITDA, excluding Virgin Telco growth, finished with a positive trend, growing by 2.3% year on year. Virgin Telco launch was a great success for Euskaltel. Launched in May, has exceeded our customer guidance by more than 50%, ending the year with more than 70,000 fixed and mobile customers. In less than 7 months of operation, Virgin Telco leads NPS ranks in the Spanish market, ahead of all its main national competitors. Virgin Telco has a clear value for money position with customers. As a consequence of our overachievement in customers' net adds during the year, we have received many questions on the 2021 growth outlook. Virgin Telco will continue to drive significant customer and revenue growth in 2021. Fixed customers will more than double 2020. Net adds, our target for 2021 is to be between 840,000 and 860,000 customers. And revenue will grow more than 6% in the year in the range of 740 and 750 million, driven by significant customer growth. We will provide, of course, full financial 2021 guidance once we complete the fiber company process. We believe that Virgin Telco is delivering significant growth because it is delivering great value to customers. Virgin Telco is increasing the number of services per customers and growing ARPU ahead of expectations. The launch of Virgin Family product is another step in the customer value journey. The family offer is targeted to customers with several services needs, usually more than two mobile lines in the fixed mobile convergence package. Virgin Telco is attracting high-value customers, driving higher ARPU. The family product is improving sales channels efficiency and increasing the company's return in the long run. It already represents more than 25% of Virgin Telco gross adds. Euskaltel is announcing today the launch of our fiber company. the largest and most advanced fiber wholesale company in the north of Spain. Fiberco will significantly accelerate Euskaltel shareholder value creation by upgrading the company's cable network to fiber. Our existing infrastructure will allow for a low-cost implementation. We'll also open new business opportunities such as FTTH wholesale customers and the 5G tower connectivity, among others. We'll generate approximately 20 million per year of network-related OPEX and CAPEX savings. And most importantly, funds obtained will allow Euskaltel to invest in further shareholder value creation projects. Euskaltel is well advanced in the process together with potential investors for the FiberCo. We will be announcing progress on this transaction in due course. The creation of FiberCo is a transformational project for Euskaltel, and we consider will unlock a significant value for Euskaltel shareholders. Once finally completed, we will announce any business plan upright and full 2021 guidance. Addressable footprint has increased by 3.2 million households in the quarter, exceeding 23 million households, ahead of our initial target of 18 million at year-end. This has been mainly due to recent signed network agreements such as the Orange and the Telefonica agreements in July and the Adamo deal in September. The increase in addressable footprint is key for our profitable growth strategy going forward. It increases the company's growth opportunities. It adds less cost footprint that allows for improved customer economics through better sales channel planning. The total customer net adds have grown to a record 22,000, accelerating the positive trend of previous quarters. Taking into account fixed customer only, customer net adds were a record 21,000 in the quarter compared to 14,000 in the previous quarter and 11,000 in Q2. Virgin Telco has transformed the company growth profile in just 7 months since its launch, delivering already three quarters of record customer growth. Strong Virgin Telco performance has been partially compensated by a weaker than expected performance in the traditional business. Weaker performance in the traditional business has been mainly driven by reduced sales in the face-to-face channels such as jobs and the door-to-door distributors due to the COVID restrictions that we faced during this year. We have reduced the weight of face-to-face channels and have increased sales in the telemarketing and in online channels. We expect to gradually recover sales in face-to-face channels as the impact of COVID gradually reduces during the year. Record customer growth has also driven service take-up in the quarter. High-value broadband services take-up was a record 24,000 in the quarter. Record 38,000 mobile services take-up reflect the high level of convergence in the Euskaltel customer base. The slight decrease in television services reflect the higher growth of Virgin Telco customers which have lower television penetration. The loss of 9,000 voice services in the quarter are the result of various factors, including that up to 75% of the new Virgin customers do not contract fixed voice services, and the loss of low-value voice-only customers. Services per customer will gradually increase as Virgin Telco advances in customer value journey with initiatives such as the launch of Family of Virgin Family. 2020 has also driven significant growth in the B2B division. Growth with fourth quarter revenue grew by 8.1%, a very significant acceleration versus the previous quarters, and 3.3% for the year to reach 114.5 million euros. Customers grew in the year by more than 200 to 16,000 despite the COVID impact. More importantly, strong demand of the B2B telecommunication services has driven significant revenue growth in the large account segment. The impact of COVID and teleworking together with Euskaltel excellent customer care have driven this growth. Now, let me pass on the word to Ángel, who will explain with more detail some of the financial trends during this year.
Thank you, José Miguel. In this first slide of the financial deck, we focus on the revenue that has taken off in the quarter up to 4.6% year-on-year. The company's highest revenue growth in recent years has been driven by Virgin Telco strong customer growth that in just 7 months after its launch has changed the revenue growth profile of the company. Therefore, Virgin Telco revenue grew to 7 million in the queue, a very strong growth which is in line with that of customers previously described by José Miguel. This growth will continue to accelerate in the next quarters. The traditional business of the company has also experienced positive 0.3% year-on-year revenue growth, driven mainly by the strong performance of the B2B business, with an 8% year-on-year revenue increase in the quarter. Mass market revenue was negatively impacted by the effect that COVID had on Soho businesses. However, residential revenue grew in the year by 0.3%, showing the resilience of our traditional business amid a highly competitive and very difficult environment. In the following slide, we demonstrate how strong cost control maintains the positive cost reduction trend in the queue, despite the effect of Virgin Telco launch cost and early growth. The gross margin has been affected in the queue by two effects: the increase in low-margin handset sales and the fact that we are gradually increasing our sales out of our own network, which logically means higher direct costs. SG&A costs were down 1.4% quarter-on-quarter, a positive trend despite the impact of Virgin Telco launch cost. Not taking into account Virgin Telco launch costs, year-on-year SG&A cost reduction would have been 13.7%, a clear sign of the continued implementation of efficiencies in the traditional business. SG&A costs were impacted by 3.5 million of Virgin Telco marketing costs. Total SG&A costs are still well below the more than 43 million euros quarterly levels reached in 2019. In this third slide of the financial section, we review EBITDA. The traditional business underlying EBITDA, that is excluding from the comparison the 6.9 million euros positive one effect in Q1 2019, remained flattish year on year, mainly to the higher sales of low margin handset equipment. Virgin Telco EBITDA was minus 2.4 million in the queue, in line with the previous quarter. Despite higher sales and as expected, direct costs started to grow in line with our broader footprint. All in, the group yearly EBITDA of 343 million euros reached its year-end target EBITDA announced between 340 and 350 million. Moving on to the next slide, we can see how faster than expected Virgin Telco growth has once more driven CapEx in the queue, as well as some CapEx being delayed from H1 2020 to H2 2020 due to COVID. In the traditional business, CapEx reached 41 million euros, in line with normal levels. Virgin Telco CapEx reached 14.4 million in the queue, driven by the 12.7 million subscriber acquisition CapEx resulting from the more than 30,000 new fixed and mobile-only customers in the queue. Virgin Telco also generated 1.7 million of non-SAC CapEx in the queue, mainly driven by network and IT activities relating to the launch of the new brand. Operating cash flow generation reached 27.1 million in the quarter, or what is the same, 15.1% of revenue. Cash flow generation was impacted by the strong growth of Virgin Telco. Not taking into account this effect, traditional business cash flow generation would have been 44 million, above 25% of revenue. Following slide shows the evolution of the leverage of the company. The continued cash flow generation allows the company to follow a clear deleverage path, despite the strong growth carried out during the year. In the whole year, the company has reduced its net debt by 31 million. This deleverage has been achieved despite the 55 million euros dividend paid in the period, representing 100% of full-year dividend, and despite the stronger-than-expected growth in Virgin Telco. Net debt stood at 1,455 million at the end of the queue, which represents 4.20 times EBITDA, down from 4.21 times at the end of 2019. With continued strong cash flow generation, a low cost of debt at 2.6%, and an average debt maturity of 3.6 years, the company ends the year in a very solid financial situation. Shareholder remuneration against 2020 results was already distributed with a first interim dividend paid last February 12th, amounting to 25 million euros. In the last slide of this section, we show you that the company has ended the year 2020 fulfilling the guidance given last February. Back then, we did not know that COVID was going to impact so severely our lives and our business at that time, but we managed to reach the targets broadly successfully. In terms of fixed customers for 2020, a stronger than expected Virgin Telco resulted in company reaching the mid-range of its 700 to 730,000 fixed customers guidance. In terms of revenue, being the fourth quarter the strongest of all, with 179 million euros, was enough for nearly reaching the low range of our 700 to 710 million euros guidance. EBITDA stood at the mid-range of our from 340 to 350 million euros full-year guidance, driven by the strong delivery of efficiencies in the traditional business and despite the faster-than-expected growth of Virgin Telco. Slightly lower operating cash flow than expected was a result of a quicker growth in Virgin Telco, impacted mainly by SAC growth CapEx. Let me now give back the word to José Miguel to wrap up the presentation.
Thank you very much, Ángel. A great effort from the Euskaltel team in 2020, a particularly extraordinary year, as we will all agree, has allowed Euskaltel to deliver a commitment and full-year guidance, including accelerated growth. Virgin Telco success has been the main driver of strong customer and revenue growth for the year. Fiberco will further accelerate value creation for shareholders. Revenue growth in the quarter, 5% year-on-year, the strongest in recent years. The traditional business continues to deliver revenue growth despite COVID and strong competition. Year-end EBITDA target was met despite strong Virgin Telco growth. Euskaltel has reduced its net debt by 31 million in the year and distributed a dividend of more than 55 million euros in the full year. Thank you very much for your attention, and I think, you know, we open up for questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, you can press the 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. So we have our first question coming from Joshua Halls from Exane. Sir, the floor is yours.
Hi there, guys. Thank you very much for the questions. I've got two, please. One is just on the net add guidance for next year. I think that backing it out, you're basically guiding for something like 120 to 140,000 net adds on the mass market fixed line side. And in order to reach your 2025 target, you need to pick that up to probably more like 175, 180,000 a year. So why is it that this guidance implies 2022 to 2025 will be a faster period of growth for Virgin than 2021? Is it just that COVID is going to be a headwind to net add growth next year? Or is it that you think you'll get some benefits of scale and new agreements longer term, which means you can pick up the pace in later periods? That's my first question. And then the second question on the FiberCo, I understand that you're going to give more detail with a business plan, but there's been some quite detailed reports on what this might look like in the Spanish press already. My question is, how much of a commitment are Euskaltel having to make as an anchor tenant? Do you have to increase your market share in order to make this an attractive proposition for any other investor? And does partaking in this kind of FiberCo network in any way impact the Orange wholesale deal you've signed, or could it impact things if there were to be consolidation and there were maybe further remedies? I understand that if there's remedies, you could benefit from them, maybe get better access to someone else's network. If you've made these commitments to a FiberCo, maybe that's not the case. Thanks very much.
Okay. Lot of questions in the two questions, by the way. But anyway, we'll start. Well, the first thing is, as you know, we've been giving you, the business plan gave guidance for 2020 and gave you an outlook for 2025, right? Because obviously, Virgin Telco, our national expansion has got 7 months of age, right? And very shortly, we'll get coming into, a bit of positive situation, which is probably an unprecedented an unprecedented sort of situation probably to all of us. And that's due to the excellent sort of performance we have had in the year, which is demonstrating that our positioning with customers is the right position in terms of value creation. And that's creating that momentum, that positive momentum that's allowed us to be 50% ahead of our original expectations. So we consider that hard work, and particularly without, COVID, because I think COVID, let's face it, has slowed the development of some channels and some other issues. We consider that momentum is going to continue to increase as we progress in Australia. We are doing lots of work. I mean, I have to keep on reminding you guys that it's only 7 months old, that we launched in the middle of portability restrictions. We were not able to do a soft launch with customers. So, in this growth that we've reported, it includes a customer teething problem improvements that we've had to do. So we have had good momentum, great start, good momentum towards particularly last quarter, and we will continue to improve our momentum because there's still a lot of work to do. We just released the family. We only released the family sort of plan late Q4, and it's already delivering. 25% of our net adds are coming from family. And by the way, that's increasing ARPU substantially, way ahead of expectations. So there's a lot of work to do. And I think what we can say is that if you go back to our original plan and the fact that we are ahead of schedule, but we expect to continue to strive to be ahead of our own expectations, because I think what we've demonstrated is that there is ample space for us in that value creation space that customers are looking for. So this is, I guess, what I can tell you about your first question. We're definitely confident. We're giving you an outlook, on how we see the year. Remember, we still, 2021, hopefully, the COVID situation will disappear shortly. But obviously Q1 is a minimum, still has some of those adverse effects that, the shops are closed, door-to-door, face-to-face channels are very limited in terms of efficiency and so on. So, despite that, we are delivering that 50% ahead of expectations in terms of customers. A lot of work to do, but we still consider that we're well on track to not only deliver our business plan as far as growth, but not only that, but we'll be looking for ways to actually accelerate that. So that's what I can say about the first question. The second question on Fiberco, this project is a great project in terms of delivering shareholder value creation. I highlighted in the presentation, but I can get a little bit further. I mean, firstly, 25 years experience, right, in our territory, second to none. Great penetration, over 30% in the residential and over 50% in the enterprise space. So great strength. We want to continue to be in a position of strength in the north, because we are by far the strongest, operator in the north, and we want to continue to have that positioning. This is Fiberco presents an opportunity for us to continue to be very strong, because we are able to actually upgrade our cable network, which is primarily fiber, by the way, except for the last mile, to fiber. And by the way, that is with a minimal cost, because we own all the ducts, because we own all the verticals, we own all the rights access, we know the territory better than anybody. We have over 100,000 FTTH, households already in place. So there's a lot of reasons why this makes a lot of sense from an investment point of view, because the cost for us to apply this is far less than any greenfield or any other upgrades on any other FTTH network in Spain. And that's why it's a very strong business case in terms of investment case. But of course, we open up new, business opportunities, which, Euskaltel has never really addressed. That being, wholesale. I've mentioned a couple of things like, the FTTH access or, market, which is from a strong position for us. This is evident, a very interesting market product, but also the 5G you know, the 5G implementations that are going to come. And, you know, have to remind everybody that our territories are by far probably one of the best GDP territories in the whole of Spain, with great enterprise fabric in all our territories, with great ARPUs, and you see that through our results on quarter on quarter. So therefore, obviously, I think the 5G operators are going to be very keen to have a very high quality, you know, fiber connections, you know, for their services. And, you know, and we're going to be in that market because we by far have the best coverage in the north. And so these are the bases, together with the fact that also we continue to see cost savings opportunities. You know, we mentioned the 20 million, the run rate cost savings, you know, operating, the difference between operating FTTH network and the cable network, and so on. So there's a lot of opportunities, values that the project creates. And on top of that, obviously looking at potential partners to take a position with us will allow us to unlock, earnings that we can obviously utilize for further, you know, value creation projects that will create further value creation for shareholders. So, you know, all of that sort of sums up that, you know, that the opportunity is great. Obviously, we, you know, can't give you the details as yet. You know, look forward to be able to present the project in full detail, and you'll be able to get some of those, you know, other questions that you've mentioned. But as you can appreciate, I can't, you know, we can't get into the details of those, which we do, you know, have. All I can tell you is that the investment case is an important investment case for our, you know, value creation going forward. So, you know, this is what I can tell you about the two questions that you've asked.
Great. Thank you very much.
So now our next question is coming from Martin Hammersmith from Citi. Flo, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. I have three, please, if I may. The first one is on ARPU. I mean, we've seen a quite significant step down in the fourth quarter. I mean, presumably not all of that is due to the dilution of Virgin. So if you can elaborate on sort of the key drivers behind sort of that step down. The second one is on Virgin growth. You've helpfully put out a few press releases in the fourth quarter that suggested sort of monthly net adds, fixed net adds of like plus 9,000 in October and September, and then plus 7,000 by mid-November. It looks as if net adds growth has a bit slowed in December. So if you could give us a feeling of how things went in January, especially given you launched the family plan, and if we should assume an acceleration from here. And then maybe the last one on consolidation in Spain. I mean, there's a lot of sort of chatter around it. If you could push for remedies, how should we think about them from your perspective? What would you sort of push for if it comes to consolidation? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the question. Now, you're right. I mean, ARPU, as we grow with Virgin, ARPU, you know, ARPU coming in, initially, obviously, you know, it's the ARPU from Virgin Net Adds is lower than the ARPU of well-established customers. But what I can tell you, and I think the guys are going to be able to probably complement with some numbers, is that the ARPU in Virgin is ahead, way ahead of expectations, which is great. It's what I said at the presentation, which means that customers are really valuing the value proposition from Virgin Telco and are actually taking services, convergent services way higher than what we expected. But, you know, we can see television services being taken up, and we see, you know, more than two mobile lines taken up. So that's great. We got, you know, the family sort of offer, which is, as you've seen, you know, represents 25% of our net adds in Virgin. That's increasingly, we just launched that in basically, you know, end of December, January. So there's a lot of good drivers for ARPU, but as you would expect, if we overachieve in terms of Virgin growth, you are going to get a little bit of a profiling, you know, on ARPU because of that. I think at the end of the day, what we're looking for is absolute values in terms of revenue, which is where we're focused. You know, this is where we are. other of course there are other ARPU sort of effects. You know, we've had a, you know, last year, second half of last year, as you know, was you know, particularly post back to school campaigning, was very aggressive in Spain, and so we fortunately had a very good sort of loyalty program set up, and of course a lot of our loyalty program have come about as a consequence of just making sure that customers were satisfied on the new plans, particularly because of the COVID, and you know there's a little bit of that as well. So you know, us doing some loyalty with our current customer base, I think the guys will tell you numbers. And we are north of the 60% of loyalty in our traditional customers, which is great because obviously it's making our churn profile, particularly beginning of the year, you know, well in line with our targets, and that's very good news. But of course, that's come about, from obviously that loyalty has come about from my lower ARPU percentages towards the end of the year. What we can tell you is that we've seen tremendous uplift in the ARPU as a consequence, by the way, not only in the region, but also in the traditional regions, as a consequence of going back with some of these family sort of value propositions back to customers. Because I think, you know, what's happened during COVID, you know, customers were changing, right? Customers were sort of, you know, particularly from low-cost type operators that were not able to provide customers the full value, so they were looking for value operators. So we had a large activity in that sense. But what we're seeing now is how customers are taking on extra value. You know, our television offers have been greatly accepted in our traditional regions. For example, the Netflix offer that we put in the market, as well as our high price offers for multiple mobile lines as well. By the way, we launched in January something we call, you know, Wi-Fi Mesh, a special, you know, Wi-Fi topology that allows, very strong Wi-Fi signaling at home with an extra €1 per month, which is also increasing ARPU for us. And of course, we're also looking at segmented customer, certain customer segments, and we're looking at those and we're improving value constantly. So our ARPU is in the rise, not only in Virgin, but also in our traditional regions. And that what is telling us that, we can see that obviously the COVID situation is better arranged. And we're also seeing a more rationalized market. We've seen, starting from January onwards, we've seen how the market has become more rational. I think everybody, all the other operators, are also looking for ARPU and looking for value. And we're seeing a more rationalized sort of market, particularly in the first few months of the year. And we expect that there's going to be more of the tendency, because obviously I think COVID was an important impact, and we need to get back to value creation. The good thing about Euskaltel is that we started on this journey, you know, back in 19, right, September. So, you know, we're way ahead with our efficiency measures as well as our value-focused customer offers. And I think that's actually, you know, playing in our way. So that's what I can tell that ARPU. Maybe the guys, do you have some interesting data to share?
Yeah, as you were mentioning, Jose Miguel, you know, there is of course an effect in the last Q regarding ARPU of our customer base, but this has the other effect that you were mentioning, that we have been able to somehow shield a 62% of our customer base. So this leaves us in a very good position to start the year 2021, and we have already seen this effect in the churn levels that are, you know, even below our business plan or our expectations. So, you know, the fact that we have been able to shield those clients and this customer base, you know, give us a very strong position to attack the other projects that we have inside the company.
So on your second question, which is the big growth, remember, 7 months, so we still we have a commitment in the business plan towards profitable growth. So we're still always looking to improve our sales channels, because for us, cost effectiveness on a net add basis for that, you know, for that SAC is fundamental. So we're always looking to, you know, to launch new channels and to improve some of the existing channels. And so there's going to be obviously months where we, you know, we're increasing ARPU and we're increasing maybe, you know, customer quality. And that's from the back of maybe reducing some of the channels that are not necessarily efficient for us. So you're always going to have, particularly in this particular phase of building the company, which is what we're doing with Virgin Telco, we're going to have those, you know, months, you know, where 1 month maybe is slightly down versus the other. But at the end of the day, you know, the important is that the underlying momentum of the brand, of the customer uptake, the services uptake, the quality of the ARPU, and the quality of the, you know, the quality of the customer perception with NPS, for example, is going up. And so just bear that in mind, and, you know, and this is something that obviously continues to happen. So we include, for example, we've had, you know, record sales throughout what we call our onboarding process. I mean, you know, way high to what we expected. And that's great news because not only do we get the lowest churn profiles on that channel, but we also get the best SAC cost. So, you know, the more we can improve, increase sales in that channel, the better. And, you know, we're obviously fine-tuning things like telesales. We're fine-tuning things like face-to-face channels. So all that stuff is ongoing. So we are committed to fast growth, but we are also committed to profitable growth. Remember that. So we're always going to be looking for efficiency. And so that's I think, something that also may month on month or, you know, certain months or certain periods, you know, have a different sort of initial. But the underlying is of increased momentum, and not only increased momentum in net adds, but increased momentum in ARPU and increased momentum in quality, particularly early churn and so on and so forth, which is things that we obviously measure very much on a daily basis. So that's a little bit on the Virgin. And I guess on consolidation, I mean, I'm so focused on our strategy that, frankly, I have very little time to think about that except for what, you know, what is on the press and some of the questions you guys asked. All I can tell you is obviously, you know, if there was consolidation, it would probably be good for the market. And particularly in our case, you know, we'd be very much looking forward to, you know, to remedies because, you know, we're by far the, you know, the best sort of setup operator to, you know, to look at those remedies. So in that sense, I guess that's the opportunity we see, you know. Obviously, from you know, from our perspective, that any consolidation would be positive for the market, for us, and of course that would probably imply some revenues for us, and we'll begin to, you know, to address that. But that's probably as much as I can tell you on this, because as I said, I spend very little time, you know, on that agenda.
Okay, thank you. So just to clarify, so is it reasonable to assume that January and February saw better net adds in Virgin than December?
Yeah, I think you know, as I said to you, my view is that we're improving net adds, but we're improving quality of the net adds, we're improving ARPU of the net adds, what we call ARPU in. To me, that's my focus. You know, I want that from my team. I want my team to improve net adds, which we are, and then definitely in the beginning of the quarter, that's the case. But, you know, the other thing we're doing is improving ARPU, and we're improving also quality. So, you know, I focus on those three levers because quality is just as important to make sure you have loyalty, you know, long-term loyalty customers that are going to stay with you for a long time delivering value. So, you know, that is something that we continue to focus those three levers. But, you know, to answer your question, we have a strong momentum in Virgin.
Great. Thanks very much. That's helpful.
So now our next question is coming from Bruno Rietkatten from PGM. Sir, the floor is yours.
Hi, guys. Just got a couple questions. It's just firstly back on the Virgin side of things. I was just hoping you could just talk a little bit more about the customer breakdown that you're seeing in terms of the offering, just in terms of broadband, fixed, telephony, mobile, and TV, that'd be great. And also, I wouldn't mind a little bit more detail on just the margin accretion that you're getting across those different product lines. You know, obviously, ARPU is very important, but I'm also interested in, you know, what is the margin on a mobile product versus what is the
margin that you can get on broadband and TV. That would just be interesting to understand as well. And then just my second question, obviously I know we're going to get more on the fiber code, but I was just a bit interested if you could just provide an overview of how many FTTH houses you have now. And then also, and just in terms of the build, what the kind of per cost build is to get a home to FTTH, just an average number. And then if you can give any guidance to sort of the other projects that you think, you know, you could look at once this cash comes in and how you create that value for shareholders, that'd be very interesting. Thank you.
Okay, in terms of good questions, I'm not sure how much we can answer, right? And I guess you appreciate that. But of course, we do have answers for everything you've stated. It's just that as a listed company, as you can appreciate, you know, we're quite limited as to what we can answer over the call. But just on customer margins, maybe I can ask the guys if you can bring some light, some information that we can share. So I don't know if Alfonso or Angel can comment a little bit on that.
Yeah, so in terms of Belgian telco customers, I mean, as José Miguel said during the presentation, most of them do not come with fixed line voice. So we have around 25% of them coming with fixed line voice, the rest coming without. But what we are seeing is that take-up of TV is ahead of what we had expected initially. We are probably ahead of one-third of customers taking up TV. And also, we are ahead of what we had expected in terms of customers taking up the high-end broadband. You can choose between 300 meg and 600 meg broadband speeds. People choosing 600 meg are in excess of 20%, which is a bit higher than what we had expected. And then in terms of mobiles per customer, we are very much what we had expected, so we are probably in rates of around 1.7 mobiles per converted customer. So all in all, we're just a bit higher in services per customer. And as José Miguel said during the presentation, Virgin Telco is experiencing that customer journey in which, you know, initially customers come with less services than what we have in the traditional business, but they're increasingly taking more and more services. And the Virgin Telco family product is helping that, because on that one, customers have, on average, more than two mobile lines, because that's, of course, the focus of that product. And as we said in the presentation, more than 25% of products today are coming in the Virgin family product. So that's really driving a better customer mix in terms of services in Virgin Telco. And in terms of margins, I mean, we cannot say a lot because we cannot really disclose our wholesale costs. But we are making a positive margin on our mobile lines. It's true that our prices are competitive, but we are making positive margins in all the mobile services in Virgin Telco.
Right. And on the fiber core, I mentioned already that we already, obviously, apart from last mile cable, but we also have last mile FTTH as well of late, particularly in some of the projects that we do, for some of the rural areas that we've been developing particularly over the last year and a half. And we probably end up around, again, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're probably, north of 100,000, FTTH already connections, right?
So 130, so, Jose Miguel, yes.
Mm-hmm. So 130,000, north of 130,000 FTTH connections as a consequence of the projects, the PEVA projects that we do in Galicia, Asturias, as well as the Basque Country. So that's obviously, a good development, good experience as well, together with obviously our 25 years experience on state-of-the-art, fiber cable networks, will provide us an excellent ability to, to implement very quickly and also implement at a very low cost because we have got basically all the elements you need. You've got the ducts, and our ducts are well provided. We've got all our, horizontal as well as vertical access, our house. You've got the permits in the dwellings, in the households, and you've got all the information necessary. So that provides an excellent sort of value to upgrade quickly and to then provide value, particularly for our customers, because obviously they will enjoy the latest technologies, anywhere in the world and way ahead of, any of our competitors. So this is obviously a huge benefit for our customers to start with. And then, of course, there is a possibility because FTTH is like an open, universal exchange sort of technology that allows us to be able to sweat the assets. And of course, being such a, latest technology implementation topology on the XG PON technology, it's a magnificent infrastructure for 5G, second to none. Most of the GPON infrastructures that are in Spain did not contemplate the topologies, did not contemplate, things like 5G. Obviously, this allows us to contemplate such just technologies from the outset. So therefore, we will provide very excellent infrastructure, second to none, as I've mentioned, to any other FTTH in Spain. So in that said, these are values that are not only provide a strength, for what is already, by far one of the best telco businesses in Spain with our customer base, both in residential and enterprise, but also to be able to sweat the assets in what is an upcoming, a very much upcoming new sort of area like the infrastructure businesses, which, as you know, are growing tremendously. So, for me, it's important because it represents Euskaltel entering into the infrastructure game. We have a lot to say. We have a lot of experience. And I think we can leverage on that experience and our assets, to give this new initiative tremendous value creation in the future.
That's great. Thank you very much.
So we have currently no more questions.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your attention. You know where we are. You know where Angel and Alfonso and I, we're always keen and willing to talk to you if any questions have not been asked. Thank you very much for your attention, and please take care and look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
This now concludes this conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.